May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 280. Will my doubting ne'er be o'er? Will the Lord return no more? When shall I the Saviour see and be sure he died for me? Hymn 280.
Let us read together in the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2. book of Job, chapters 1 and 2. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their fasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep, and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. The Lord bless his word and help us to pray. O Lord, God Almighty, do, we pray, enable and permit needy sinners to bow before thee. Help us to come, we pray, to pour out our heart before thee, to tell thee all the truth, to withhold nothing from thee, to not draw near with feigned lips, but to come with our hearts and tell thee what we need. Oh, may thy Spirit tell us, show us what we need. And this is why, Lord, we come to thy house if we are in a right frame. We want to thee to show us where we are, what we have need of, and we want thee to lead us into that way everlasting and to reveal thyself to us and to bless us, strengthen us out of Zion, and give us, Lord, the witness that we are right and that we are found in thee. Oh, we do plead with thee. Be not silent to us. We do come with our confessions, O Lord. We are unworthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth that thou hast showed unto us. We desire to put our mouth in the dust that there might be hope, and ask thee, Lord, to have mercy on us, despite all that we are, despite, Lord, the many sins that we are subject to, all the changeable frames that we have been subject to even this day. We cannot keep ourselves. And yet, Lord, we come with supplication that thou wilt now have mercy on us. Lord, despite what we are, we would be coming with that holy boldness and looking unto one so great, one who can save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. We do beseech thee, Lord, accept us in him, thy well-beloved Son. Oh, we ask then, may the cry and the need and the exercise of thy living family be met. May there be no disappointed soul. We pray there might not be those who go empty away. No, Lord, break thou the bread of life. May there be a crumb which falls from thy table. Something, Lord, that might remain. Even if it be but a word, just something, Lord, will do us good if it is spoken to our soul. And we do then pray, suit thy word to us, and may it enter in, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, entering into the joints and the marrow. May, Lord, thy word then search us out, find us, and may we be instructed. O Lord, we would lay this people before thee, thankful for thy continued help toward them, that thou hast maintained them and helped them here. And we thank thee, Lord, for this grace. Truly, by the grace of God, we continue to this day. And we thank thee for this. And do remember them, Lord. Appear for them. Thou knowest the exercise of the church. Thou knowest the needs that they have. Do remember them. Appear for this people, we pray. And Lord, there is much need of thy appearing, not only here, but elsewhere. So many, Lord, of thy causes, indeed all of them, if we be the true church of the living God, we are found in need. Lord, we pray, remember us. And thou Thou seest where there is empty pulpits this day. Lord, raise up more ministers of the gospel. And thou seest the many causes that are pastorless. And Lord, we pray that thou appear in this great matter. We need thee, Lord, to appear. And then, Lord, there will be profit. Please hear us for Zion. Do thou strengthen us, we pray. And do thou gather in others to us. And those, Lord, who are in Zion have been enabled to put on that open profession. Oh, we would be thankful. Do thou, we pray, give us more grace. Lord, do remember each here in their particular pathways, the way they are walking. We do pray, be with them in it. And may they prove that their God is able. He is with them. Lord, help us in this increasingly difficult day. We especially remember the young people and the children. Some found in the schools, and increasing pressure and evil things put before them. And we do pray that thou keep them and deliver us in this evil day. And do watch over our dear young, that they might not be evilly influenced. We do pray, even whilst young, that thou hast put thy fear in their hearts, that they might discern between the right and the wrong, the good and the evil. And we pray that thou to bring them to that point by grace, where they are enabled to come out from amongst them. Lord, truly, by following thee. So please remember all. Lord, we would remember those who have wandered, some who we know and love, left thy house, left thy ways. Lord, we pray that thou bring them back. We long to see thy work, Lord. We do pray for them. Oh Lord, help us then to pray in these things. We pray for our government, the royal house. We pray for the new prince and his mother and father, and the whole of the royal house, the queen. Lord, bless them. Who could please thee. Raise up on our throne a godly king. And do raise up in our government men that fear God. O Lord, do good to Zion. We realise how much these things affect thy people. But Lord, whatever thy counsel or will is toward us in our day, O give us grace to stand. So we do pray, let thy kingdom come, both in our own land and in other lands also. And do thou remember thy people caught up in places of the earth, a great persecution and a deprivation. Lord, be with them. O Lord, we remember those who are gathering this day in thy name, those who this very hour are standing up in thy name to speak. Lord, do look down upon us. We can do nothing without thee, preacher or people, but we would lift up our eyes unto thee, that thou art strengthen us with all might in the inner man. Enable us, Lord, as we meet together, to be raised up above the carnal things, and to be placed in those heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. So we do look up unto thee, O Lord. Remember those in affliction's pathway. We remember those in the hospital, some suffering from various afflictions, bodily, mentally. And Lord, be with them and make their crooked places straight, rough places plain. Please be their help. And Lord, we do them pray even this evening. Now as we are found around thy word of truth, that thou art send down thy spirit to lead us into all truth and teach us. May there be that to be our help. Above all things may thy name have the preeminence and thy name be glorified. And it be to our eternal good. Hear us as we ask and plead the name of Jesus. Amen.
In 904, O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy spirit guide. Hymn 904.
Thank you.
We'll turn this evening to the book of Job, chapter 1, and to verse 21. Job, chapter 1, verse 21. And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The surrounding verses read thus. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job was a great man, well known amongst the men of the East, and the Lord had greatly prospered him and increased him. He had much wealth, he had sons and daughters, and the Lord had blessed him on every side. And this man was a man, we read, who was perfect and upright, a man whom God had made upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. A man who was upright in his day and generation, a man whom we might not be able to find a fault with according to his outward walk. And this man was greatly prospered. And one thing is clear in all his prosperity. With the apostle, he knew how to abound. He knew how to prosper. And this regards his spiritual state. For you see that prosperity did not steal his heart away from God. But he was still concerned for the glory of God and for the eternal welfare of his children. This was still his concern. You see his tenderness that he would sacrifice to God and confess his sins, and seek to confess the sins of his family, that God might have mercy upon him and upon his children. It's a blessed thing, friend, in the day of prosperity, to be kept in such a spirit. For there can be such a burden upon the soul in the day of prosperity. But we realize, perhaps more than ever in the day of prosperity, just the evils of our hearts. We say, who can keep their spirit under from going after the things of this life? Who can keep down the pride of their hearts? We say, it's a mercy, like the apostle, to know how to abound. But Job was going to come into a different pathway and know the other side, what the apostle said. I know both how to abound and how to be abased. And this man, how he suffered such loss. It was the loss of all things to him. And it happened, it seemed all at once. And yet there were definite times of and ways in which God afflicted him. We read of the various things that happened to his substance and to his family. And perhaps in the pathway that we take at times, we can see the hand of God in our afflictions, in our troubles. Why the hand of God was so clear in this? One thing after another, and it could not be mistaken, but that it came from him. I believe when the Lord would speak to a man, perhaps through affliction, he will not just speak once, maybe twice, maybe three times. The Lord will speak so that they understand that it is the voice of God. Why, it's not just a chance, for there is no such thing, but that it is the hand of their God. And more than this, why, we even read, the fire of God fell from heaven. So it seemed, poor Job, that God had truly gone out against him. And for him, my friends, to utter the words in our text, we can see the grace and the gold shining through in Job. We can truly see that he was a man of God. And indeed, this was the Lord's purpose. This is why the Lord allowed such things to come upon Job. Because the Lord would show that this was truly a man that feared God. He had something to show Satan. He had something to display before the world, that this was his work. I believe there is something here, friends, something which our eyes don't see, or we don't understand, the Lord's kingdom. We read of the angels of heaven that they desire to look into the things of grace. And I believe there is something in the Lord's dealings that he makes his people a spectacle, and at times would bring them into a place where they are made a spectacle. And why is this? Because he's going to display you, his work in you, before the world and before devils and angels, and he's going to show what his mighty grace can do in a sinner's heart. For as God would have all his works to be praised, I say, what about the work of grace? For all his works shall praise him, and his saints shall bless him. And he would have the work of grace in sinners' hearts to be a praise to him. And he shows to Satan just the strength of his grace in a sinner's heart. Satan wants to see the work of God being imperfect, and wants to see sin breaking through the grace of God. But the Lord will show what his mighty grace can do. It's able to keep you from falling. Is able to make you to resist evil. Why, where sin abounded, grace can much more abound. And this is what he was showing with Job. His grace was sufficient for him. Didn't matter what comes upon him. His grace was going to be better and stronger. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if we're a child of God, we walk no usual pathway. Our battle is a spiritual one. Our path is a spiritual one. It's not all physical. And there will be, my friend, spiritual battles to be fought. Circumstances to come into for true spiritual reasons. Oh, that we might have our understanding enlightened to understand what the Lord is doing and why the Lord is permitting such things to come upon us. I say we can see here something which we would never understand had it not been written in the Word of God. Yes, we fight not against flesh and blood. No, but it's against spiritual wickedness, evil spirits in high places. And therefore, friends, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. And if we're going to get through these trials, we need God to arm us with true spiritual weapons. I believe this man here, Job, had true spiritual weapons given to him by God. He possessed the fear of God, and can we not see his grace so coming through all that he went through? And he falls down at the sound of all his trouble. And he falls down in sweet submission and says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." It shows that the man was not holding on to the things here below. When a trial comes, it does show us where we are. And this man could let it go. He was able to part with all and follow him. And friends, be blessed with us if we could use the language of Job. God only knows the things that you've lost. And in the kingdom of heaven, we are told we will lose things. Why? We shall lose houses, lands, father, mother, children, and our own life also, if we take up our cross and follow him. So I say there will be losses in the way to heaven. And let not these things stun you and surprise you. And why did we not read this morning about those who can only feed on milk in the Word and cannot take that strong meat? Say, my friends, if we are to understand these things, this is the strong meat of the Word. We are to understand that there are hard things, difficult things that we have to live through and endure. And this is the way to glory for all God's people in one way or another. We have to cast away the flesh and seek eternal things. So he comes to a time of great loss. And perhaps it is so maybe with one and another. The Lord has built up your inheritance. He's given you many things on each side. Perhaps someone who's been a true help to you. Someone who's been a support to you. He's prospered you and supplied your need and blessed you perhaps in your business. Helped you in your home. And then in a moment, one or another is taken from us. My dear friends, we will only be found in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him, enabled by grace to come as Job. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. His trouble did not turn him away from God. It's a blessed thing if this is the outcome. And how we are to watch the Lord's hand in our troubles, and not to faint. We want to get the benefit of these troubles, you see. Understand what the Lord is speaking to us in these troubles. For we read of him that he teaches the prophet. And therefore, if he teaches the prophet, doesn't matter the way he teaches, there's always profit. Oh, we do need an understanding heart, an ear to hear and an understanding heart, that we might really hear what God the Lord does speak. May we be as Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Have an ear opened to what the Spirit is speaking to us. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He remembered then his birth. He remembered he brought nothing into this world, and it was certain that he was going to carry nothing out. And in remembering this, he could see that his soul was the most important thing. And in seeing this, he saw his unworthiness, and he was able to lay himself before God. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. We say, are we not naked in every sense of the word? It is physical, as we read here. We're all born in our nakedness from our mothers. And whatever comes upon us in this life, we return thither. But this nakedness, I say, is more than just natural. For God afflicts his people at times in spiritual ways. I say often. And we then realize our spiritual nakedness. I say you were singing of it in your second hymn. Our exceeding great poverty. At times then, we can, perhaps after a season of blessing, great help spiritually, perhaps we can drift into being a little unconcerned, perhaps proud. And then the Lord afflicts you in your soul. Why, he stops your meat and drink. He dries you up. And you realize your vast nakedness, spiritually naked from your mother's womb. And everything you have in your soul has been given you. For what have you that ye have not received? What are we but for the grace of God? We are nothing. The apostle knew it, though I be nothing. Yet the Lord made him the chiefest apostle, though he was nothing. This is the lesson we have to learn. This is what grace will teach you. In and of yourself, you are nothing. The Lord will show you the nakedness of your soul. His eyes will search you out, before whom all things are naked and opened. The Lord will search you out. He will show you what you are in your ruined self. naked. Friends, what have we to boast of? Our song in glory will truly be free grace unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him there will be honour, glory and thanksgiving forever and ever. It will be not unto us, but unto thy name be glory and honour. Yes, spiritually naked. Nothing in self, but possessing everything in Christ Jesus. Yes, weak in self, but strong in him. As the apostle said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What a contrary thing to this. Without him, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is the teaching of grace. This is what it is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's with the John the Baptist, I must decrease and he must increase. He must be more in my estimation and I must be less in my estimation. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. You see this striking word. Absolutely destitute. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. My dear friends, until we get to this point where we admit that we are totally depraved, we never really get to the true grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Poor, lost, ruined, wretched sinners made rich through the grace of the Lord Jesus. Say we're going to come down, then we build upon a rock. The rock Christ Jesus. And it is a building which will stand forever. And he will cry, grace, grace unto it. Because this is the real work of grace. You're not building upon yourself. You're not trying to cover up yourself. Clothe yourself with the rags of your own righteousness. You come stripped. You come naked. And you're looking for something that you can't give you. It is this, a perfect righteousness, a perfect covering. And this is what Christ gives to his beloved people, his beloved bride, whom he has loved with an everlasting love. We read of it in the prophecy of Isaiah. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. The Lord will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. He will bring out in you his righteousness, his grace. He will clothe your naked soul. Doesn't matter what you are, friend. What you want to look for is the grace of Christ in you. This is something that hasn't been with you by birth. Naked you came out of your mother's womb. What do you need? You must be born again, said the Lord Jesus Christ. You must receive new life, different to your natural life. You must receive a new spirit. A new heart must be put within you. You must be clothed with grace and come into the true knowledge of God. Enter into his everlasting kingdom. And the Lord will do this in all his people. You need it, naked soul. You can't stand before Almighty God in your nakedness. His eyes are as a flame of fire. Whatever you're covering up before him, be sure of this. God will bring it to light. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He knows where you are. He knows those who are walking the path of deceit. He knows those in whose spirit there is no guile. Yes, naked you came. But you need more than this, friend. Oh, may the Lord effect in you and me that vital new birth, whereby we are born as new creatures. And our souls are clothed. And no more does God see in us the depth of the fall, because I say you've been clothed with the garments of salvation to be looked upon as a son of God, to be looked upon in Christ Jesus. Friends, until we come to this language like Job, spiritually, would never seek to be clothed. This is the way the Lord will bring you there. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked should I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this regards many things, both physical and spiritual. And whatever dispensation you are brought into, oh, it will be well with us to submit to it. This was the blessing of Job. He did not charge God foolishly. He kept his integrity. He was still able to believe in his God, trust in his God, despite all this that came upon him. Things might surprise you. They can surprise you in your soul. Sometimes you're surprised at the great wickedness of your heart. Sins you've never seen or perceived before in your heart. Sometimes you're surprised they're still there. Sins perhaps you thought seem to be gone away perhaps. No, friend. Naked you are. And the Lord, through trials, will bring you to realize it. But then there are many trials that may come upon us in our lives. And it is the Lord's ordering, the Lord's perfect counsel. So you see the order of these things that fell upon Job. There is a counsel in everything. His ways are far higher than our ways, and his thoughts and our thoughts. We are disturbed many times, but his eternal thought moves on his undisturbed affairs. It is the Lord. Should we contradict his will? I say, may we not reply against him? Who art thou that dost reply against him? Hath the Lord not a power over the clay? Does he not sit as a heavenly potter? then who are we to speak against him? Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Oh, friends, we realize then, naked shall I return thither. Do we not realize how short our lives are? Do we not realize the brevity of our lives? Do we not realize the weakness of our nature? That all flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field that fadeth. So I say, there is no strength in us. We need something eternal. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has given us so much. We so often pass his mercies by. But Job knew that the Lord had given him all these blessings. He lived in the knowledge of it. This is the best way of the Lord being increasing our substance. It is that we should realize they are the gifts of God. You know, when the Lord would perhaps give something to a man, he would give him a right exercise, make him pray over it, and then the Lord bestows it, and the man realizes the Lord has given it. And I trust it was so with Job. He realized all these things were added to him, and they had come from God. The Lord gave them. You look upon all your substance, what God has given you. Oh, I can't go through everything. Oh, you who fear God, you see what the Lord has given you in this life and in your soul. Can you see it's come from God? Well, the Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who's to say, who's to dictate to the Lord his timing? Our times are in his hand. The length of time we hold these blessings is in his hand. The time that they're given, the time they're taken away, is in his hand. As all our times, a time to be born, a time to die. Yes, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to build up, a time to break down, a time for every purpose, a season for every purpose under the sun. Our times are in his hand. You say, if only this had not happened today. Oh, if only this had happened last week. But our times are in his hand. Oh, if only he hadn't afflicted me in this point. But God knows just where to touch you. God knows just where to weaken you. Why, he weakened my strength in the way. A thorn in the flesh, like the apostle knew. Something that's going to prick you. Something you're going to have to live with and go along with. He's going to make you hobble. So you have to lean upon him. Yes, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. But you see, friends, the frame he was in, why he fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He praised him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The man was still in a worshipping frame. Even when the Lord seemed to be against him. What a wonderful thing if we can praise him in the fires. If we're able to thank him when things are going wrong. And be ye thankful, said the apostle. Be ye thankful. Does that not speak at all times? Why are we not told to pray in this manner? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests made known unto God. Don't forget the thanksgiving. I wonder how many of you have brought into this trouble would come to him and ask him to restore them all to you. I wonder how many of us, oh, lift up our hearts in thankfulness. However small is our portion, however afflicted we might be. I remember some of the Lord's, the older ministers in the years ago who suffered such great deprivation. Oh, I say, perhaps a hard thing, perhaps a thing you think they thought was strange and foolish to give thanks to God with a table with just a small crumb upon it, just a little meat or none at all. To bless God with something that would for something that would hardly fill their belly. And yet, it's a wonderful thing if we're able to lift up our hearts in thankfulness for perhaps that which is not completely right. Not doesn't completely satisfy you. Hasn't completely, it seems, been what you wanted. Yet to be thankful, a wonderful thing. The beasts of the earth, some of you perhaps who have cattle and various animals, you feed them, they don't thank you. I say, may we not be as the beast. May we thank him and praise him from whom all blessings flow. For whether it be great or small, one thing is sure, that he openeth his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. One thing is sure, that it's been given to you by God. God has supplied your need according to his riches in glory. Has he not said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content? Yes, he can be praised for supplying our need. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Truly thankful heart. The Lord loves this spirit. He loves this enlarged heart. This spirit, perhaps, in the midst of your poverty, in whatever way, you would not cease to serve him. It would not cease to perhaps minister to the need of others. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I say, we see the true grace of God shining out here. What happens to you and I when we are brought into these places? I believe if we have not the fear of God, will be left to a spirit of grumbling, complaining. You say, but some men who don't fear God seem to be in quite nice frames and cheerful. This is not, my friend, some mood. This displays what happens when real things perhaps go wrong. I believe you'll find the world won't grumble as long as they have what they want. But this displays the grace to be able to thank him when things go wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, friends, in whatever you are passing through, you have deep circumstantial problems. You have true spiritual needs. Oh, it is good that we should fall down before him and wait for his answer. To kiss the Son, lest he be angry with us and we perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. No, to come to him, still to be coming to him, humble reverence, a loving fear, and underneath the terrors of his rod, to trust in a wise and gracious God. His wisdom, his knowledge is unsearchable. Why, who being his counsellor hath taught him? He doeth that which is right. Yes, he will ever execute judgment that is right. The sceptre of his kingdom is a right sceptre. And be sure of this, that he who sits on Zion's throne will order it for your eternal good. I say this is what Job saw. The end of it all, friend, it was working for his good. I believe that we mentioned this morning, that which we are brought into will be for our spiritual good. I believe this is what the Lord will do. He will bring you as a shock of corn, fully ripe. He will bring forth his gold. He will refine you. And it's all because he loves you. And he will make you. His Zion, we read, a praise in the earth. He will make you a praise. It will be to his glory, to his honour. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless us such a spirit as Job. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £610, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way,
Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
Thank you.
O Lord, do bless thy precious word of truth, and go with us, keep us safely as we travel to our homes. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost remain with us, both now and evermore. Amen.